right, good morning, everyone. As you can see, we are in a series entitled Multi-Ethnic Conversations. If you want to turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 12, we're going to look at two passages of Scripture here this morning, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. If you came in just a little bit late, I'm Lance. Welcome. This is Richard. We both serve as pastors here at Bethel.
What's going on,
we're going to be speaking, obviously, together today.
I like your shirt.
Chap, I like your jeans, man. They look good on you, brother. I forgot to tell you that earlier.
It's pretty weird coming from a man.
Well, hey.
But I receive it in Jesus' name.
Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. Basically, leave what is comfortable to you to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you, Abraham, will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language or his own native language. And they were amazed and astonished. Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea,
Cappadocia.
Strong. Pontus, Asia, Phrygia from McDonald's, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. Man, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. Father, I pray you'd help Pastor Richard and I. Lord, communicate, Lord, your heart. Lord, open us up today, sir, to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Guys, again, today is our 13th anniversary as a church, as Bethel Community Church here in Clarksville, Tennessee. You can clap for that. My little girl, Bailey, Pastor Lance, she would always like to dance for us, and she would stop in the middle of her routine, and she would say, if you like it, you can clap.
Exactly right.
So I would say the same thing for you guys. If you like it, you can clap. Thank you, that person who did like it. We have been having a series of conversations here at Bethel Community Church called Multi-Ethnic Conversations. And during these conversations, we have tried to be very careful with our words.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, engaging in conversations like this is not the easiest thing to do. If you've ever tried to have a multi-ethnic conversation at your job before, I can imagine you're very careful in what you say and what you do. And it's really because our nation, our culture has become very polarized in how we see things and how we view situations. And it's extremely difficult topic for our nation. A matter of fact, you would think our nation would be able to answer the problems that we see today, but it's really the adverse is really taking place. It seems like we have become less capable as a nation to answer these problems, and it's almost like we are on the verge of a major incident taking place in our country. But here at Bethel, we want to be a multi-ethnic church that reflects the New Testament and what Christ desires. Can somebody say amen? That's why we speak on tough topics like this. It's because these issues are real.
Yeah.
And the Bible does have real answers for the problems that the world is facing today. And just to be honest with you, even though we've been around for 13 years as a church, as a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church, we don't have it all together.
That's right.
We don't have all of the answers. Our goal, and many goals you'll learn in just a few moments throughout this conversation, is to begin the conversation. We talked about Wednesday night. Champion, if you guys haven't tuned in, we have a little Facebook broadcast we are doing every Wednesday night for this conversation on Facebook Live at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. And we talk about the fact that we don't have it all together, but if you don't begin to have a conversation like this, nothing will ever change. It's kind of like in a marriage. If there are problems in a marriage that don't get addressed, nothing will change. And everybody say amen, this married. You have to address the hard things in order for the hard things to get dealt with. And over the last couple of messages, they've been pretty tough. We've experienced people who have come and thanked us for having these conversations, but we've also had people give us some very instructive criticism for these conversations. And our goal in here is that you wouldn't walk out,
yeah,
but that you would stick it out and have these conversations, and we realize that people are going to have one side of this argument or another side of this argument, and the goal is that we would appreciate your opinion, but we would take Jesus' side of the argument.
Yeah, very good. You know, Pastor Richard, that was good because, you know, you see these hands here on screen. If you're new with us today, this really does speak, as Pastor Richard is talking about, racial reconciliation. It really speaks also that all nations are welcome here. You know, one of the things we have not talked about is multiracial couples. That's something we haven't spoken on. And so we know that we've got a lot of you guys that, you know, are either married to a different ethnicity or that you have children. It's difficult sometimes. The reason why this is, I just thought about this, why you said what you said, is because the reason why sometimes this is tough to talk about, and the reason why people can get critical, and the reason why we have people walk out, I mean, the first one I spoke, the very first Sunday, three Sundays ago, that's right. I had somebody get up and walk out when I was speaking. That's all right.
You were being mean to white people.
No, I was not.
To be honest, white people hate you, champ. I don't know why.
That is not true, champ.
I like you.
I'm calling my people up. They got to rise up.
You're the people's champion.
That's right.
You're like Spartacus.
I don't know
Maximus
about that.
Maximus Aurelius.
I always want to name my kid Maximus, but Dee didn't let me, so. You know, but here's the thing. The reason why I think that these conversations can seem offensive is because a lot of times we only hear people talk about stuff like this in politics.
That's right. So they think it's a political issue.
Exactly right. And they think we're talking political language, and we're not. What we're talking about is Bible. See, the problem goes to the church. The church hasn't talked about this. The church is too scared to talk about it, especially the white church, because they're scared to death to say something offensive. They're going to say the wrong thing. And this is why Pastor Richard and I are here to talk about
this. There you go, hating on white people again.
You say it best, champ. White folk feel guilty. You say what you always say. It's really good.
Well, there's actually a couple. I've been coming up with some new ones.
Oh, okay, good.
But a lot of times when, and this is just, can we be real just for a minute? Please say yes. A lot of times when we deal with these issues, it's hard to talk about them because, and I really feel bad for white people because I do. You know, I'm married to a white woman. And so that means
almost
I'm.
So you married one.
That means I'm a that means I'm the authority on white people now. Because I can just imagine, as white people, you probably feel like you're walking on thin ice sometimes. What can I say? What can I not say? And to be honest, there's two sides of how we usually hear responses. Usually it's sympathy and pity for a situation dealing with minorities, or it's callousness and a cold shoulder. And to walk that balance, I can only imagine, is extremely difficult.
Yeah, this is why we're having this conversation, is to help one another. Because, again, if we want to be a multi-ethnic church, then we have to talk about issues like racism. We have to talk about issues like prejudices. We have to talk about that. If we don't, we're not going to be a multicultural or multi-ethnic church. And so Pastor Rich and I are willing to allow people not to like us. Look, the gospel is offensive. Today we might say something that's uncomfortable to you, But here's the thing, is that a lot of times the things that are uncomfortable are the things that, number one, we need to hear, and the things that might change and transform our heart. I knew when we showed up here 13 years ago, we actually got invited. Pastor Richard was serving in our church in Murfreesboro at the time, myself and a guy named Mike Cantrell, who started this church 13 years ago. We knew that we were in the right place because we went to a prayer meeting, a citywide prayer meeting, and Mike stood up in that prayer meeting and started talking about racial reconciliation, started talking about God building a multi-ethnic Christian church. And it's actually after that prayer meeting, an African-American man walked up to him and said, "I'm glad you're here in our city, but I want you to know we don't pray prayers like that around here." And so we thought to ourselves, man, we're in the right place at the right time. So these are the things that we still battle in our community today. As we walk throughout this series, we have three simple goals. First of all, we want us to be reconciled to God first. That has to happen first. If we're not reconciled to God through Christ first, our hearts never can change. And then we can't. The next thing is to be reconciled to one another. As I'm reconciled to Jesus, now I can allow Jesus through his Spirit to deal with the things of my heart to reconcile me with my brother and sister who do not look like me. The second thing is we want you to embrace the multi-ethnic Christian church. We want this to become a value of yours. It can't just be him and I. If it's just our value, we're not going to change our community.
Sam, can I break that down just for a second?
Yeah, go.
In essence, in Revelations, it says one day we will serve Jesus. And it says that every tribe, every nation, every tongue will bow before him and worship him. And that is the way church should look on earth. The Bible says, let things be done on earth as they are in heaven. Can somebody say amen to that? This is what we should aspire for.
We do. We believe because it's what God has built. And the last thing is to begin to live out the multi-ethnic Christian life. Now, in saying what Pastor Richard just said, I just want to make this little caveat here, is that a lot of the church, as we know, is all white, all black, all Asian, all Hispanic. And there has, in history, because the church has chosen to disobey what we just read in Scripture. We just saw Genesis 12. What did God want to do? He wanted to reach the nations by building a people. But all throughout the Old Testament, what we see is those people not reaching the nations. We don't. We see them really, number one, sinning themselves, making mistake after mistake. But God is so patient, he's working through, getting all the way up to Acts 2. And Acts 2, like you said in first service, I'm going to steal this from you, champ, that's all right. Acts 2, I forgot it. What happened? You said Genesis 12.
I'm sure it was brilliant, though.
You said the promise being spoken, and then Acts 2.
Yeah, the promise was fulfilled.
The promise was fulfilled, that's exactly right. 2,000 years later, think about how patient God is. 2,000 years later, he's beginning to fulfill that promise. And so as we're talking about this, what we want you to do is embrace this value. Because this value, this dream that we have, is only going to be fulfilled by us coming together. But what I wanted to say before you go on here is that God has used, though, the segregated church. He has. Because the church has chosen not to do their role, yet God still works through our mistakes. But what we see clearly through Scripture is that he wants to build a multi-ethnic church. So, Pastor Richard, even though we don't see it, even though it does not mean that God does not want to do it, because obviously we see in Scripture that's what he wants to
do. Yeah, I mean, this is what God has been doing years and years ago. We see it, and you mention it in Genesis chapter 12. There was this man named Abraham, and Abraham was not God's people in the beginning. Matter of fact, God had no people, and he created his people. And what he did is he called this man named Abraham out of the midst of the people he was in. He was a part of a people group called the Chaldeans. They were moon worshipers.
That brother, being a moon worshiper, I'm sure he was tattooed up, man.
You gotta be hardcore to be a moon worshiper.
Man, he probably had tats all up his arm.
Yeah, moon right up on his eye. That's what I would do if I was a moon worshiper. And he called this guy named Abraham out of his people. Now, you think about this for a second. He had a culture. He had a past. They had history.
Yeah.
He had family that had ways of doing things. And then God said, Abram, I want you to be the beginning of my people. And so he brought him out of what he was familiar with. He brought him out what his family had historically known to begin a new people. And remember, wow, this is before Jews existed. This was the beginning of God doing something new. He called him out. And in essence, when you've been called by Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a born-again Christian and you have given your life to Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, he has called you out too.
Yeah.
He's called you out to follow him more than your family.
Yeah.
He's called you out to believe in the way he wants you to do things, more so than what you grew up with, more than your culture, more than your preferences, more than what your mama and daddy said, this is the way you should do things. When you follow Jesus, it's all or nothing. And it's almost as if when you have been called by Christ to follow him, everything changes.
Right.
Your worldview changes. The way you do life changes. And this is what we see in Abraham. God was really calling him to do something new, to start a new group of people who would follow God in everything that they do and everything that they would say.
Yeah, that's so good, because he also, Pastor Richard, he gives us a new worldview as we step out of whatever he's called us out of. In fact, we have had stories, a lot of great stories have come to us as we're talking about this conversation. Here's one particular story I want Pastor Richard to share about an African-American woman that came up and shared something with him from last week's message.
Yeah, a lot of things we're talking about, these are not just theology. This is not just, you know, oh, that's a great point about Abraham. But no, when Christ calls you out, it can really impact your family. There was an African-American woman who came last week right after the service, and she said that, you know, what we've been talking about has really impacted her. And the reason why is because in her family, as an African-American family, her individual family, they don't have multi-ethnic conversations like this. She said, a matter of fact, my family are not believers in Jesus. They think that Christianity was given to the slaves to pacify them, and that Christianity is a white man's religion, and I'm not going to serve a white God. And you think, how difficult is it to come out of a family who believes in such a polarizing way for now you to follow Christ? See, following Jesus is not always easy. Somebody say amen. Sometimes it will put a wedge between the closest people in your life, and you're going to have choices to make.
Very good.
Matter of fact, you're going to have some preferences that you're going to have to deal with. And that's why we're having conversations like this, because the world, depending on your background and where you're from and what your socioeconomic status is and what your race is and what your zip code is, your community has been saying something about how you should respond to this multi-ethnic problem that we have in the United States. And you can choose to listen to that, or you can choose to follow the Word of God.
That's so good. What I love about that woman, Champ, is that she's willing to sit and allow the Holy Spirit to change and conform and adjust her worldview. Because you can imagine growing up like that, and that's being taught to you as a child, and you come to a church like ours, you're like, what's going on? Are my parents wrong? And this is why, again, I go back to Abraham, as from Genesis to Acts, is how patient God is with us. And he works all of us in different ways. He really does. He's very patient with us. And so as we're walking through this conversation, we have to ask ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, are my values in line with you? Is my worldview, is it in line with you, sir? Just allow him to work on you. But you can't, when you hear stuff like this, just jump up and leave, because then you're just walking away from everything the Spirit of God wants to do with you. Every time I see somebody get up, walk out, I'm thinking to myself, if you only just stay and hear the whole conversation, hear our hearts on this.
Champ, you know, that's why it's a great opportunity for you to tune in on Wednesday night, because we realize us having a one-way conversation is not necessarily going to change the world. And that's really why we created an opportunity on Wednesday nights to have a two-way conversation.
That's good.
On a Wednesday night, you can ask questions. You can have your viewpoint be heard. And so we invite you guys to do that, to join that conversation, because who knows, thousands of potential of people could be hearing our conversation on a Wednesday night, and you could be part of that solution.
That's so good. And that's why, as we walk through this scripture and as you read your Bible, again, you see God building through Abraham this new people to reach all the nations. The problem was, as we know, is there was sin in the hearts of the people. So much so, if we come to the book of Jonah. Pastor Richard talked about Jonah as he was encouraging us after worship. You come to Jonah, I mean, Jonah was racist. I mean, he was the one most racist men in the entire Bible. He hated Nineveh. He wanted Nineveh wiped out. But God had a mission. What did God do? Jonah ran so far away, he jumps in the sea. God sends a whale, spits him out where he wants him. Do you see how hard, what God's heart beats for? He's willing to say, Jonah, you're not running from what I want to do in this nation. If he's going to do that to Jonah, how much more you and I?
That is so good. You know, God, all through the Old Testament, we see little glimpses of God trying to build a multi-ethnic lifestyle for his people to engage in. And when Jesus comes on the scene, nothing has changed. As a matter of fact, Jesus gives us specific examples of how Christ wants a multi-ethnic church and how we should live a multi-ethnic life. There was a woman called the Samaritan woman at the well. And if you guys didn't know, Samaritans were not liked by the Jews, but Jesus goes against the cultural norm. He goes against the boundaries that Jews and Samaritans had, and he begins to engage with this woman, a conversation about who the true God is. There is a woman they call the Syrophoenician woman. Jesus actually called her a dog. Mm-hmm. This woman wanted healing for her family member. And she goes to Jesus and Jesus says, it's not good for us to give our food to the dogs. And then she said, well, even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. And then you see Jesus, by doing that, actually sparked that woman's faith to stand up and to fight for what she believed in. And Jesus saw the faith in that woman and began to engage in this multi-ethnic conversation. We also see the centurion soldier who is a Roman. And all through the life of Jesus, you see Jesus breaking pattern with society. There were groups of people that Jews would normally not associate with. And you see Jesus almost kicking down the walls of the things that separate us so that he can prove a point to us. Even today, it's our job to follow in the lifestyle of Jesus, to follow in the way that Jesus led his life, and for us to kick down barriers when they stand up, to stand up against society when it says that there should be divisions amongst people. And Jesus wants us to follow in that path today as well.
And you would think, Pastor Richard, after doing all of that, having the picture of the Old Testament, having the picture of Jesus, that his men would figure out what to do. But what we see, if you read Acts and Book of Galatians, it took 13 to 16 years before they begin to go to other people groups.
Champ, you would think with as many times as I've told my children not to hit each
That's
other,
right. They still do.
They would have gotten it.
That's exactly right.
But they don't listen to me and we don't listen to God.
But that really shows the power of really our personal preferences. Jesus himself was showing his men, I've called you to the nations. But the power of our personal preferences hinders from God building what he wants to build, was a multi-ethnic church.
That's right. You know, our preference, this is at least between me and him, this was pretty profound. Hopefully you guys will think it's profound. But between our preferences, our pride, and our culture, it has the potential to hinder what God wants us to do on this planet.
Yeah.
Because we have a way we want to do things, which may be different than the way God wants to do things. Because we have pride that likes to think that we have it all together and there's nothing that we are doing is wrong. And because we have a culture that we came out of, it can actually hinder the work that God wants to do in our life. And historically, we can see that there's so much influence from those three things that actually kept the apostles 16 years before they began to obey what Jesus called them to go out and do, which is to go out into all the world and to share the gospel.
And we have an example that we want to show you today, a video here that we want to show you that talks about, picture paints a thousand words? Is that what it said?
Picture is worth a thousand words.
That's it, exactly. We have a little video here. Pastor Rich, tell them about that, because it really is about tearing down walls.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to show a video, because us talking about it, you just can't get an image of it. But there is a movie called 42 that came out just a few years ago, and it's really about the story of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball. And if you guys didn't know, he was ridiculed when he began to play with the Brooklyn Dodgers. I mean, there would be times when he would go out to play and entire crowds, thousands and thousands of people would curse him, call him, we used to say, call him outside, what his mama called him, called him outside his name. They would use racial derogatory terms to refer to him. And we're going to see a clip because sometimes when we see injustice happening, we have to make a stand. And sometimes we have to stand up in the face of what culture is doing and say, some things are wrong, yeah, and I am going to do something about that. And so in this clip, in this video, we have edited it so that the racially derogatory terms, we know that young ears may be in here, and we don't want you to necessarily have that conversation before you're ready for that. So we're going to roll this video footage and show you how to really take a stand in your culture.
Hold on, sweetie, hold on.
How many times do you think Pee Wee's gonna score today?
Well, I don't know, son. I remember when I was a kid, I saw Honus Wagner play. Scored three times that day. I just have to wait and see.
Wow, that would be great.
Cincinnati fans expressing their displeasure as the Dodgers take the field.
We don't want you here!
Jack Robinson at first, Brad Eddy Snaky at second, Buddy Jorgensen at third, and the captain, Pee Wee Reese, at short. Fans, ask any man and they'll tell you the Gillette Super Speed Razor is our honey. Maybe the sweetest shaving razor you'll ever use. Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp.
They can say all they want. We're just here to play ball.
Just a bunch of crackpots still fighting the Civil War.
Well, hell, we'd have won that son of a gun if the cornstalks would have held out. We just ran out of ammunition.
Better luck next time, Pee Wee.
Ain't gonna be a next time, Jack.
All we got's right here. Right now, you know what I mean?
Thank you, Jack.
What are you thanking me for?
I got family out there from Louisville. I need them to know. I need them to know who I am.
Hey, number one! You playing ball or socializing?
Playing ball, huh?
Don't let
him
get to you!
Playing ball. Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42. That way they won't tell us apart.
Come on up, Pastor Ron. You know, this what we have here today, I believe is something of great value. And anything of great value must be guarded. And as we close here, how do we guard what God has given us? Because again, as we look around other places, they don't have it for one way or another. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to look at Scripture and try our best by the grace of God is to build what He wants to build through us. So how do we guard what God has given us here? You know, we believe that we have to guard the mission of the gospel. That is to all nations. And the way we do that practically as individuals is we have to ask God for an ongoing revelation. God, continue to open up my understanding to see what you are building. Number two, pastors, we have to guard really this multi-ethnic church.
You know, one of the ways that we guard the church is we engage in the life of the church. We give, we serve, We invest in people by inviting them to church. We attend community groups. We attend Starting Point. Now, one of the ways that you can really engage in what we're doing in a very practical way is September the 29th, we're going to have a thing called a Night of Hope. And basically, our Night of Hope is our attempt to communicate this radical message of reconciliation to our community. Now, for the last few weeks and for the next week or two, we're going to continue to have the conversation right here at Bethel.
Yeah.
But that's designed for you. The conversations that we're having today, these are designed for you so that you can be equipped to have these conversations. It's our goal that as a church, we would become ministers of reconciliation. And one of the ways that we hope that to achieve that is by having these conversations to equip you to learn how to communicate this, to communicate that God does have a hope, that there is an answer for the world's problems. But on September the 29th, that's our attempt to not only have you come, but to have you invite people in the community so that they can hear about this radical message of reconciliation. Our world is divided, whether we agree with it or not, whether we think people are right or whether we people think people are wrong. People are having a conversation, and the church should be right there at the doorstep, ready for an answer, filled with hope, filled with reconciliation. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, one of the cool things that's going to happen on September the 29th, it's going to start around, what do we say, about 7:30.
It'll start at 7.
We're going to start at 7. End at 8:30. We have a new friend at Bethel. We have a men's group that meets across the street from the hospital at a place called All the Perks Coffee. And we met a gentleman there, and him and his partners own the entire strip of businesses. And one of those businesses is Paradise Indian Grill. And we had a conversation with him, and he said, "I want to bless your church." Now, this man's not a believer. Hope he will be. I hope you pray for him. But he said, "We want to give you some food for your event on the 29th. And so he's going to, in addition to us having this conversation with our community, he's going to supply Indian food for our entire group that night. And so we want to, that's a good plan. If you like it, you can clap. Remember that? We told him what we are doing. We told him that we are part of a multi-ethnic church, and it's our goal to bring all ethnicities together. And he said, "I want to provide food for that night." So he's going to come out and bring tons of food, and we hope that you guys will come out, that you will invite people out as well.
We'd love for you to get a T-shirt, Pastor Richard, as well. Wear it on the Night of Hope. There's a sale right outside. Get you a T-shirt. Also, walk through this handout that we have that we passed out today. Continue to do that throughout the week. And the last thing is this, is that we want to guard, again, how do we guard what God has given us? We want to guard against our preferences, our pride, and our culture dividing us, because it will happen. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Let's pray that God would just show us, is there anything in us that he wants to deal with this morning? Father, here we are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit who conforms us into your image. Today, Lord, we desire that. But help us to value what you value, sir. You're building a multi-ethnic church. It's clear through Scripture. It's clear through us. Help us to guard this great value you have given us. Help us to take it into our homes, into our relationships, Lord. We guard what we say towards one another because of this value, sir. But I pray you bless Bethel. Lift this, God, hands across this city, God, for your glory, Father. Do something, Lord, that people will look at and say, that has to be God, because it cannot be man doing that alone. Father, we ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, if you need prayer, our prayer team will be standing down front. God bless you guys. Hope to see you at the picnic today, guys. 2 p.m. is our family picnic. 2 p.m. at Civitan Park. You got a little insert when you came through the doors. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Hope to see you this afternoon for our family picnic. You are dismissed.